listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, to CMDA Matters, where we explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. So whether you're in healthcare, married or otherwise related to a healthcare professional, or you're just simply interested in how God is working through Christ's followers in patient care and beyond, I'm so glad that you're here. As we continue advancing toward CMDA's fiscal year-end goal of $900,000 by fiscal year-end June 30th, I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to everyone who has already given. Your generosity is equipping and expanding the reach of CMDA's ministries, and it's fueling the transformation that we're seeing in healthcare through committed followers of Christ. And I want you to remember, thanks to a generous $640,000 matching challenge, every gift that's given by June 30th will be doubling your impact, dollar for dollar. You know, to date, friends, we've received a little over $383,000 to claim that match, leaving us with just $256,000 to claim a match of $640,000, which is almost double what we've had in previous years. So please consider giving your most generous gift between now and June 30th. To give today, visit cmda.org/give or connect with our stewardship team by calling 888-230-2637, or you can email us using the email address stewardship@cmda.org. I've been especially looking forward to today's episode. I'm joined by my co-host this week, Pastor Bert Jones, who is CMDA's Vice President of Missions and Member Care. And we're going to welcome Dr. Tom Husted. He's a retired Army colonel. Dr. Husted brings a distinguished 24-year military career to this conversation, having served as a NATO medical facility commander, and he's been recognized as Flight Surgeon of the Year. He's led with excellence throughout his career, and we were honored to speak with him. Today, Dr. Husted serves as president and CEO of the Referent Group, where he equips professionals with a focus on healthcare leaders to lead with character and clarity and purpose. Rooted in the principles of servant leadership, his training helps healthcare professionals like you and or your family member or friends navigate high-stakes environments to be effective as well as engaged leaders. In our conversation today, we'll explore his journey from medicine and military leadership to the transformative field of leadership development and executive coaching. You're going to hear about his unique leadership philosophy and discover why investing in your own growth, friends, as leaders can not only elevate your workplace, but also deepen your personal Christian witness. Whether you lead a practice, a hospital department, or a small team, I think you're going to find Tom's wisdom and experience. They offer a powerful reminder that leadership is not all about titles or control. It's about service and stewardship and significance. So let's listen in. Our guest today, Dr. Tom Husted, graduated from West Point at the top of his class and also graduated from medical school, Case Western Reserve University. Served for 24 years in the Army, a distinguished career that a lot of accolades. I don't have the time to go through all of them, but one of his accolades was the Army Surgeon General chose him to be the face of military medicine in order to recruit more young doctors to be willing to serve in the U.S. Army. After his time of service, became the chief medical officer for a medical group at Baptist Health Hardin in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, where he and his wife have lived for 30-plus years. So welcome to CMDA Matters today, Dr. Tom Husted.
Well, thank you. I'm very excited to be here. I always enjoy my time with the CMDA.
Well, I got introduced to you on the day after a really terrible storm because you drove down from Kentucky to do board training for our board. You braved fallen trees and things to come. And the board members after that training, Bert told me that it was like the most incredible board training they had experienced, many of them for years on the board. So that speaks highly.
And I've heard that over and over from people as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I was introduced to Tom via Steve Sartori, who had been to their leadership training event with the referent group. And Tom has shared some of those videos with me. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna watch these over a period of time. I started watching them, and I just kept watching and watching and watching, and I couldn't stop. Powerful stuff, and I hope we get the chance to talk to Tom about how our people can take advantage of that. Mm. Tom, as a brand promise, the referent group talks about award-winning teachers and coaches working diligently to deliver an unrivaled leadership development experience to every individual and organization. I've noticed in the medical community, medical personnel are moved up the ladder in leadership, but not usually trained. When did you start realizing there was an opportunity here to engage with leadership development in the medical world?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bert. And the one that even when Mike was describing kind of my background, one of the roles I did was this recruiting role for Army Medicine to go out. And I went into a lot of different organizations across the country. And one of the ways I would do it is to just offer some leadership development presentations, really short, small type things. And it was this overwhelming sense of, whoa, where is this coming from? I've never heard this type of thing before. And I realized we're not trained, just as you said, we're not trained as medical professionals, quite honestly, typically, and especially physicians. We're promoted because we're competent, not just because we're good leaders. Mm. And then we will sometimes struggle because we haven't been given the training and really the time for development that is needed, or taken that time for that matter. And then as I kind of continued my career and moved into the civilian practice and leadership as well, I just saw really good people leaving medicine, whether it was burnout or frustration or whatever it was. I just thought, well, we can do better. How do we do better? And it's really kind of a reflection on leadership development, as well as looking at the literature to see kind of what's going to make a difference here, and realizing that leaders are the ones that create our environment. They're the ones that create the culture. And if we can go out and train leaders in healthcare to be better at that, we could potentially really get after this issue. And not surprisingly, we've seen that. And so that's why my heart is there. That's why I'm not doing what I know how to do well, which is see patients and doing leadership development as an entrepreneur, which I'm not good at, but I think it's a calling that God has given me. Actually, it was at a global leadership summit, for those that are familiar with that, out of the Global Leadership Network, that a friend of mine, who was a co-founder and a pastor who became a coach for us, much like you, Bert, we looked and we walked out of that summit, and we felt this a massive call that this is where we need to be. This is what we need to do. And we were going to do it until God said we weren't supposed to. And right now I'm 7 years later and we're still doing it. So
Tom, those early leadership classes that you did in the Army or trainings, I assume that those young doctors were hungry for it. You've kind of alluded to that because they hadn't had any past experience. And of course, the Army is developing leaders. I mean, that's got to be part of military training, no matter whether you're medical or not. So how did some of those early lessons transfer over into what you're now doing in the referent group? Complete makeover when you came into the civilian world? Or is there a lot of things in common?
I think there's a lot of things in common. There definitely are a lot of things in common. If I reflect back and kind of think of myself as a leader developer back then, I would give myself a really low grade. I was probably just, you know, telling people, hey, this is what I do. This works for me, without really any good knowledge of how to truly develop. And it's actually been since we've started the referent group and work with Doug Crandall, Matt Kincaid, Jeff Webb, all these the different parts of our team, Manny Kuda, and even now more recently, Cherie Bowen, where we have, I've learned how to truly develop. And it's weird. It's not training necessarily, or it is development, making it much more personal in nature, self-directed, reflection, understanding, and then movement into transformation. And the way I have seen that really play out is I continue to teach in the military with NATO every year. I go over to Europe and teach with the NATO Special Operations Medical Community. And these are the best of the best. They're leaders. They do the hardest, most complex, most dangerous missions. And they're asking me to come in and do leadership development. And I often feel a little bit inadequate. And yet what I realize is the way we develop and the way we teach resonates, and they grow and they learn from it. And then I grow and learn from it. And then I can bring it back to even our medical community where, like, boy, if the special operations who are doing these complex missions understand the value of it and know they need to continue to grow, how much do we over here in the medical world in the United States need to do the same? Because we do high complex, you know, dangerous type missions that require good leadership to get good outcomes and quality and safety and all those things.
Tom, it's been my interest since I've been involved in CMDA to develop a culture of leaders. And we know, as you said before, that a lot of people who are in the medical profession are in positions of leadership, both in their churches and communities, because of their position, but haven't necessarily been trained. I'm hoping that someone's listening to this today is listening to you and saying, how do I get involved in that? What kind of services do they offer? So what are some of the services that the referent group could offer to our listeners in terms of their healthcare systems? And also, do you guys do development for people outside of the healthcare world?
We do a lot of different things. We started with a real heart for longitudinal training. So we offer organizations training that is over periods of maybe 6 to 9 months where you meet every 3 to 4 weeks. We, as you can appreciate, really value the individual coaching and executive coaching that helps to bring about and augment transformation. So we teach on a topic, and then we provide one-on-one coaching for each participant, and then we teach. And so hopefully we're building and we're getting true transformation. My heart is never to use valuable resources of time and money in an organization if it's not truly making transformational change. So we do some longitudinal services that we have found have been incredibly impactful. But we also realize that can be anywhere from maybe a few months or shorter periods to longer, depending on the organizational needs. What we've really started to do is how do we offer this to other in other ways? And that's kind of where some of the things you've experienced come in. We've started to do conferences that have been, we've been doing that for the past 3 or 4 years. We have found in just two, three days, people will tell us they still look back and say that was the most transformational conference they've ever been to. We will do even half day or full day programs. We've been doing that with a few, particularly leadership teams, to get them engaged in leader development, understand the value and the need for it. We did it with your board, quite honestly. That's an example that we might spend even a keynote. In that case, it was only an hour, and yet you can see how impactful something like that can be when done in kind of the manner that we try to do it. And then finally, you know, we spent some time, quite a bit of time and resources developing some videos that people can use if they want to do some individual learning that are engaging, that we try to mimic the process that we use over the longitudinal. So we have some of those available, as well as just individual coaching that we do, especially with our coaches who are trained in the way that we teach and can bring some of those concepts into the coaching world as well. So lots of different ways that we can do it. My heart is healthcare. I asked Matt and Doug to come do this because we need it in healthcare, but they had done it for a decade or more outside of healthcare. So when you ask, you know, do we do this outside of just healthcare? The answer is we've kind of seen this as the impact we've had in healthcare have been so valuable. And we have continued people asking that. We are starting to just, well, we're going to offer this to whatever industry is in need. I look at the church certainly as a place that we could potentially be impactful, but so many other industries, we're looking at government and places where we know it's transformational, it's important, and we want to kind of bring that out to more places than just potentially healthcare. So we're really open to whatever organization is in need of good leadership development.
You know, Tom, I got introduced to the referent group through a book that Bert recommended to our senior leadership team. And I mentioned it at the board training, how impactful. The mantra that comes from that book is so much more powerful than even the title of the book. Because I can't even the title of the book.
Permission to speak freely, right?
Okay, correct. That is the mantra. Okay, yeah. I have both. Yeah. And that has been transformational. I've learned a whole lot about that concept. Still remember the opening story of a field goal kicker for the Seattle Seahawks telling his coach, don't send me in to kick a field goal. That's not what you want right now. You want something else. Very powerful, the ability. And what's fascinating, it's maybe just a little bit different. I think in a Christian nonprofit world or a Christian organization, that I think the book talks about second chairs and third chairs being able to have permission to speak freely to their bosses. But honestly, in the church, I think it goes both ways. That I think a godly, Christ-like leader, it brings a smile to my face when a second chair in my life says to me, Mike, I give you full permission to speak freely to me as well. How am I not being an effective second chair? You know, because we all are kind of people pleasers, even as first chairs. And sometimes we don't want to speak hard truths into the lives of our second chairs. And when a second chair says, I want to be the best second chair I can be and serve this ministry, wow. So listeners, I highly recommend the book, Permission to Speak Freely.
Yeah, and Mike and Tom, that book gets quoted almost daily here at CMDA or in meetings. People will just kind of permission to speak freely. And we've kind of talked about how do we use that? Don't just blast the boss or, you know, come in rude. But this is a genuine concern for the organization of CMDA, permission to speak freely. And it is changing, I think, the culture here.
It's probably been these central things since I became CEO that we've been introduced to that I think has been very important. And, you know, it transformed the airline industry. I think you point out in the book that Doug points out that it's transformed, that a co-pilot, you know, a junior can say it's been built into the system. And it has to be built there in surgery and medicine too, right? I mean, the ability to say, wait a second, something's not right here, you know, whether it's that short timeout before surgery gets started or wherever. So many ways, Tom, right, that this should be applied to medicine. So is everyone just excited? All these really smart people, these doctors and other healthcare professionals who are so competent, are they like, bring it on because I'm not a good leader?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think the bigger thing is, had they ever really been given the time to spend in leader development and reflect? And when they are given that time and they give themselves permission to spend some time doing it, that's where they realize, wow, did I really need this? And particularly when you do it in a space where it allows some self-directed growth and personal growth. What I love about your story about permission to speak freely is it's a book written for leaders. So it is the leaders, it is incumbent on the leader to create the space for the people they lead to speak freely. And as you said, Bert, it's not just to rip the boss. And how do you get them to do it in a way that's positive? Is you assume positive intent. There's some really good things in there. You have genuine curiosity, all these different things that you describe to create this culture where people can say the things that need to be said in a positive way to help the organization. But what you describe as the lower level, saying it back up to their leader, which is not really necessarily the intent of the book. Right. It's what you're doing as a leader to show that you care about them, that you value their input, you want to hear from them, you're assuming positive intent, you're expecting the best out of them. You start to develop some trust, and they start to be able to trust you, and then it starts to go both ways, and through vulnerability, all those different things. It really excites me to hear you say, wow, even the lower people, when I have done this as a leader, are doing it back to me, and look at the value that it's bringing our organization. That's really neat and a good testimony to the leaders doing the work of what the book is describing.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. CMDA's Center for Well-Being helps Christian healthcare professionals align with God, optimize well-being, and maximize influence. If you find yourself feeling burned out and overwhelmed by your daily demands, please reach out to our team in the Center for Well-Being. After all, you pour yourself out for others every day, and this is a place to be refilled. Plus, we've been expanding our services in the center to help meet the great needs CMDA members have. You can sign up for certified coaching training courses that prepare you with the skills for coaching those in your sphere of influence. And our team can even help you walk through the difficult challenge of facing a malpractice lawsuit. Plus, we offer marriage enrichment weekends and retreats for our members to refresh and restore their marriages. Our team members have been where you are, and we want to help you through the challenges you face. Visit cmda.org/wellbeing to learn more. Have you heard about CMDA Placement Services? It is a recruiting service that brings together healthcare professionals of like-minded faith to further God's kingdom. Through this service, we assist practices searching to hire Christian healthcare professionals, as well as healthcare professionals searching to join a Christian practice. We have a number of opportunities across the U.S. and the information is constantly updated on our website. Our service is free to healthcare professionals seeking a position, and our experienced placement specialists are happy to assist with your search as you seek the Lord's direction. For more information about CMDA placement services, visit cmda.org/placement. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
I had a conversation with Mike at one time, and I asked that question to Mike, and he gave me permission, and later came back and we were talking about it. And I remember one of the things I said to you, Mike, was, thank you for creating the culture here at CMDA that we could speak freely. And I think it has really impacted our culture and the way we speak to one another. It's all done in Christ-honoring verbiage, but there's a sense of honesty.
And it stopped us from going down some paths we really would have spent some resources and time going down. And boy, it needs to be said every day. I mean, we've got a lot of strong-willed, you know, people with a passion and a calling and wanting to go down various paths. And we have to say, wait a second, let me just give a counter argument to what has been suggested and we've got on the table today. Things like, where should we have our national convention? Mm-hmm. And just all kinds of practical things for CMDA.
So, Tom, I know that I'm always thinking about something on leadership, always developing a thought, a talk. I'm just curious to pick your brain a little bit about what are you chewing on right now that may come out as a resource, some lessons or principles that God's been kind of stirring in your heart that might be helpful to our listeners today.
Well, I wish I could take credit for it, but what's stirring in my heart is what Doug actually, Crandall, who wrote the book with Matt Kincaid, Permission to Speak Freely, he has been really, I would say, convicted and has been burdened by the concept of building versus diminishing. As a leader, are we building our people or are we diminishing our people? And he's done a lot of research around it. There's a number of books that he's read and articles and research to look into. In fact, one of them is called Words Can Change Your Brain by Andrew Neuberg, who is a physician. And another is by Craig Rochelle, Winning the War in Your Mind, who he writes a really neat book, who's the senior pastor for Life Church and works quite a bit with the Global Leadership Network and particularly at the summit. And so the whole point of it is there's kind of, and it's been really good for me, and I'll tell you why, is we have a couple things that we look at. What are leaders' expectations? Do we expect the best from the people that we lead? Do we want the best? Do we want to settle? Do we want to demand excellence? But then what, or do we not really do a good job of giving what is expected? And then secondly, how do we communicate? Do we communicate in a diminishing way, which tears down, or do we communicate in a way that builds? And so if you can get to the place where you're both expecting excellence, sharing expectations, being very clear and candid with that, and doing it in a way that builds them to feel that you're believed in. They become more confident, they become more capable, and they become more valued. One of the places that it's really convicted me and why I'm spending time on it or even sharing it here is that I know one of my strengths is to communicate in a way that is in a building nature. I want to encourage people. It's one of my core convictions as a leader is I want to help people succeed and do the best in what they're doing. So that's easy for me to do because it's a core conviction. What's hard for me to do is to demand excellence because Mike, you said it, I'm a people pleaser. So sometimes I don't always make clear expectations or demand excellence because I don't, well, they like me though, you know, that kind of thing. So what I become in this way of I'm building with words, but not creating expectations of excellence is I become a cheerleader, which is not a bad thing to be a cheerleader, but man, I'm not really building. And there's for me to take that step of a leader who builds, understanding the need to set expectations of excellence and expect the best and want the best and try to get the best in a way that then positive in the way I communicate as well. I think that has been incredibly valuable. There's so much more to it. Doug is working on it. He's hopefully have a book out here soon. Once he gets into something, he really gets into it. So I think we were already starting to share it in some of our content. We certainly will share it with organizations as we do some of our longitudinal studies, and we'll probably bring it into some of our conferences we have coming up as well.
Tom, referent group, you of different ways, different paradigms of training. And certainly, not only do you have online courses that Bert referred to earlier, but you also, your group will come in and do 2 or 3 day conferences with large healthcare systems. Can you give us a story from, you know, the past year or so in which you've come in and a healthcare system decided to redo things and approach leadership differently that made a huge difference?
We have one organization that we work with that they've been working for us for years now. And I think the difference that it's made for them has been culture. So you talk about, you know, this impact of leader development, what does it do? And when I talk to the CEO of the organization, who is really the driver behind it and puts resources behind it, understands the importance of it, which is really valuable. When it starts from the top and cascades down, that's so important. In fact, I feel like it almost has to start there. Otherwise, if we start in the middle of an organization, sometimes those middle managers can be good at leaders, but they get frustrated with the leaders above them that didn't do the same training. So in this particular organization, what we've seen is, at least from my experience and why they keep bringing this back, is you get the people that are doing it become engaged. They've developed a culture where if you fit in that culture, like a permission to speak freely type of culture, then you are going to flourish and engage and grow and feel like you are succeeding, so to speak, or thriving. If you don't, you might self-select out of that, you know? And so sometimes even he's even said to me, you know, some people aren't here anymore, and that's okay, because we're developing a culture that we want to, it brings on the people we want, it keeps the people we want, and it helps us to grow. Even though they've all been through the training, we keep coming back twice a year to do kind of additional work. That, and it just, because it takes that to continue to reflect or to build that reflective muscle. And so I've been super, I don't know, encouraged by that organization and their commitment to it. And to watch that kind of transformation as they continue to grow and flourish has really been fun.
Tom, one of the things that I've enjoyed since Steve introduced us is we've been developing a friendship and looking at ways that we can partner with the referent group. And that's been continuing kind of a process of developing that. We're looking at bringing you into some of the leadership conferences we do, maybe at a national convention or whatever. Recently, we just talked about what are some of the things you're doing that CMDA members could plug into. So what are some of the things that you offer within the referent group that maybe there's one listener out there right now who thinks, I need that. Rather than waiting until CMDA offers it, what are some things that you're offering right now that 1 or 10 or 20 people could plug into?
Yeah, I would say there's probably a few things, especially for the individual out there that's listening. One is our video series. That's super easy. Just go to our website and you can get into our landing page that has all of our videos and kind of work through those. Those are, you've done them. We have had nothing but just positive feedback and people that have enjoyed and gone through. So that's an easy way to do that. You can do it. It's self-directed on your own time at your own pace. Another is we do conferences, and our next conference will be September 4th and 5th in Indianapolis area, actually in Carmel, Indiana. And it'll be a 2-day conference, and CMD members are welcome to come to that as well. We do individual coaching that is more aligned with our leadership development and the way we do things that's offered. Although I would highly encourage the coaching that they can do through CMDA because I've experienced you and Steve and some of the things there. So I would encourage that as well. And then finally, you know, there, if someone's out there who has the ability to make some decisions around time and resources, we can come in and do keynotes, half day, full day types of things. I say all that, and particularly for the CMD member, I'll say it now. And I've told you before, we have a heart for nonprofit. We have a heart for ministry. We have a heart for God. And so we offer a 10% discount to all CMDA members. And it's super simple. Just type in CMDA, whatever you're doing, our videos, our conferences, whatever, when it asks for a code, CMD. I made it really easy so that you can't forget it. And I guess if anybody's listening to it who's not a member and they're listening to this, you got it, and that's fine.
Or we could just say join CMDA and then you get the 10%
yeah,
discount.
There you go. Yeah, that's
Tom,
even better. That's
Tom,
right.
One of the things that I have so appreciated about you is, you know, we met at the GMHC last year and we were meeting together to talk about this partnership, how you've invested the referent group in our missionaries. Now, I know this is really important for Mike as a missionary, but you've been so helpful. And thank you, you know, our Czech ministry here at CMDA and Todd Sprinkle of helping get some of this material affordably to our missionary
if
leaders
our
around the world.
If our listeners aren't familiar with Czech, Christian Healthcare Executive Collaborative.
Yeah. We're just grateful for the way you're making this even go around the world.
It was a calling to begin with, and I'm probably a a bad entrepreneur, but I am a good, faithful servant. And I like to think of our organization as a theocracy. I'm not really in charge. And so if we have the ability to get it out to a missionary, even if it's completely for free because they can't afford it, I'm going to do it. And I've told you that in any way that that is needed. It's just too important to me. That's part of the reason we're in it. And so I consider it kind of it's a privilege. It's an honor to be able to engage with that and those that are doing that around the world.
Tom, we have a training series that's been around CMDA for well over 25 years. Started off, it's called the Sailing Solution, and concept of raising faith flags. So as you're doing training, especially with large secular healthcare systems, any faith flags that you tend to raise up that allow people to come up afterwards or actually lead to people coming up and ask you questions about your faith? Because we haven't talked a whole lot about your faith, but it really drives what you guys are doing at the Referent Group, doesn't it?
It does. And we're not a nonprofit. We're not necessarily a faith-based organization. We're just all believers who are doing leader development. And, you know, one of the things that when we founded it, Todd and I talked through it, and our core conviction is we believe in a grander vision. And that grander vision is the upper story that God is writing. And so we believe in that. Everything we do cascades from that. When we share, so much of the beginning, I wouldn't even call ours, it's a small distinction. I don't even call what we do necessarily training. We would probably call it more development in the sense that we wanted to create a space for self-directed personal growth that's truly transformative. And I know it's a little bit of semantics, but when we're doing that, we model it. And so we'll model, hey, these are the things in our lives that have created who we are as a leader. We know what we believe. We know why we believe it. We're not necessarily shy to say what those things are in our life. And for me, you know, and Doug, it's faith is a significant component of that. And it leads to some of the values that we hold and how we show up as a leader. It's not surprising to me when we use research to drive the way we develop, but that research so often backs completely what we see in scripture because that's how we were created. And, you know, even when Doug came out and was teaching at the, at your conference last year, some of the examples he used were even from The Chosen. Like, look at Jesus as a leader. You're going to see so many of these research-based principles because that's how we're created. It's really neat. So that's kind of how it comes out in who we are. And we have had conversations around that because of what we share. And it's kind of neat to see how God uses it.
Bert, thanks for introducing us to the Referent Group and specifically Tom Husted. And I love the scripture to spiritual and even non-spiritual leaders. I guess you could say that Paul gives the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4. So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now, leaders, it is required that those who've been given a trust must prove faithful. Thank you for being faithful with the trust that God has given to you and to Todd and to Doug and others at the Referent Group. And look forward to hearing stories of Bert, since you've opened the door for those listeners and our members to reach out to the Referent Group.
Yeah. Tom, we are so grateful for your life and friendship, and thanks for joining us today here on CMDA Matters.
Thank you. You guys are always an encouragement to my faith and to my heart, and I appreciate it. I sincerely appreciate it. I love to partner with you.
What a meaningful conversation with Dr. Tom Husted. His example challenges us to lead differently, to influence through our service, to guide with humility, and to build cultures of trust wherever God has placed us. If you're interested in learning more about Tom's work, just visit thereferentgroup.com. You know, at CMDA, we're deeply committed to developing Christ-centered leaders who not only care for the physical needs of their patients, but who also lead their teams and organizations with integrity and eternal purpose. Tom's story reminds us that leadership is a calling, one that I personally view as a sacred calling, and one with the power to impact lives far beyond our workplace. And if you're navigating challenges in your own life or your leadership journey, CMDA offers professional coaching designed specifically for Christian physicians and dentists. Grounded with our Christian perspective, our coaching helps members and other constituents bring balance and purpose to their calling, especially in our demanding vocation of healthcare. Whether you're facing right now burnout or transition in your career or simply seeking clarity, we're here to walk with you, friends. To learn more about our coaching services and the broader care that we offer our CMDA members, just visit cmda.org/wellbeing. If today's episode encouraged or challenged you, would you please consider sharing it with a colleague, leaving us a review, or subscribing to CMDA Matters on your favorite podcast platform? And be sure to follow us on social media to stay connected with the latest updates and stories from our podcast. Next week, we're going to hear from Ryan T. Anderson, who is the president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, who together with Jamie Brian Hall, who's a statistician from the EPPC, they recently released a study on the real-life impact of the abortion drug mifepristone based upon actual insurance claims data. This study became an overnight center of attention and debate by the media as well as government officials. You don't want to miss it. Thank you for listening to CMDA Matters today, where our mission always remains the same. We are bringing the hope and healing of Christ to our world through committed Christ followers in healthcare like you. That's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. May you recognize this week, friends, that the Lord is with you and that He is for you to do His good work. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time, Lord willing, on CMDA Matters.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.